Well, I wonder if you've ever had amazing news to share and you just couldn't wait to share this news with those around you. I remember when my first child was born, little Enzo McLean South, and as I held this little baby for the very first time, my heart was just so overjoyed. And I wanted to tell the world that my son was born. Now, we live in a glorious age with technology right at our fingertips, and so I picked up my phone to begin the process of telling everyone that I had a son. I started by telling my immediate family. I then moved to my aunties and uncles and cousins. From there, I went on to tell my friends. Now, after I'd notified all my friends, I arrived at the people that I haven't made contact with in quite some time. Oh, Jimmy. I haven't talked to him in years. Yep, better tell him I have a son. Sarah. So I haven't seen her since high school. Yep, better tell her I have a son. Now, after notifying all my acquaintances, I finally arrived at the people that are in my phone, but I can't for the life of me tell you how I know them. Alfred? Who the heck is Alfred? Oh, well, I better tell him I have a son. And Nigel? Don't even know a Nigel. Well, it doesn't matter. He should know I have a son. I mean, when Enzo was born, I was filled with so much excitement. I just wanted to share my news with everyone. Whether the people I contacted wanted to hear my news or not, well, that's in a different story. We come to this moment in history when the God of all creation sends his one and only son to earth to be the savior of the world. People have been waiting for this moment for hundreds of years. And when this moment finally arrived, God, just like any other dad in the world, wanted to show his son off. God wanted to announce to the world that Jesus had been born. Now, how do you think God would go about doing this kind of announcement? I'm sure God let all the kings and queens and governors and rulers and politicians know the news first, right? I mean, that makes sense. Well, if you know anything about God, you know that God doesn't work in conventional ways and God's ways don't always make sense. Let's have a look to see how God chose to announce the birth of his son. Thanks, team.
He has worked the field since his fall. By beast or by crop, in plenty and in drought. He must tame the land or be tamed by it. The shepherd knows this well. He is a keeper. He is a guardian. He is a guide. And his flock, aimless in all their attempts, pulls him far away to chase their fickle hearts. How peculiar it is that God omnipotent would take the post of a shepherd.
Afraid?
You don't be afraid.
For I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, has been born this night in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the babe wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.
A baby?
Glory to God in the highest! Peace on earth and goodwill toward men! Glory to God in the highest! Peace on earth and goodwill toward men! Glory to God in the highest! Peace on earth and goodwill toward men!
Ha 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 ha
So the shepherds left their flock and hurried to the village of Bethlehem. In society's eyes, shepherds should not be the first ones to greet the King of Kings. But isn't that just like the Creator of the universe? He uses lowly people to do amazing things for His glory.
When Jesus Christ was born, God didn't send His angels to the king's palaces. God didn't send His angels to the parliament buildings. God didn't even send His angels to the churches of the time. No, God sent His angels to shepherds. In the ancient world, shepherds were the outcasts from society. They were the people you avoided. They were the people that you would cross the street so you didn't have to make contact. They were the people you made fun of in your jokes as you sat around the dinner table. Isn't it interesting that these are the first people that God chose to tell the amazing news that His Son is born? With the birth of Jesus, God is making a huge statement. Jesus is for everyone. We need to remember this today. Jesus is for everyone. I want you to really think about what this statement means. Often I believe when we declare Jesus is for everyone, we're actually saying that Jesus is for people like us. I remember when I worked in South Auckland, my church decided that if the angels visited shepherds to bring the good news of salvation, then we should reach out to our community at Christmas time with God's love. We thought it'd be a great idea to make these amazing hampers. We managed to get a heap of sponsors on board. We even talked with the local police to work out which families in the area really needed a bit of extra love and support. As we started sharing this idea with the church, I was amazed at some of the pushback we received. People were coming to us and saying that we should not be doing these hampers because we're going to be helping gang members, drug dealers, people with gambling problems, and so forth. In short, without realizing, these Christian people were saying we shouldn't be helping these people because they are shepherds. They are outcasts. They are nobodies, and we should be saving our love for those who are like us. We need to be challenged by the fact that when God announced His news to the shepherds, God was breaking down any social or racial barriers that we create and reminding us that His love and salvation is for everyone. As you leave today and continue to celebrate Christmas, please don't forget that God's love breaks down any barriers that humans create. I challenge you, send a Merry Christmas text to someone you might not usually contact. Invite someone who struggles to loneliness to your New Year's party. Find an organization who reaches out to struggling families and volunteer your time helping that organization. There are so many things that we can do to help break down social barriers and become inclusive. Christmas is a reminder that God's message of hope is for everyone. Let's make sure that we're doing our part. Now, when the angels visit the shepherd, they don't just promote the news about the birth of Jesus Christ. They also sing a song. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Glory to God in the highest heaven. The first thing the angels sing is about God's glory. Today, every single person in the world is giving glory to something. The question becomes, are we giving glory to God? Or are we giving glory to something else? Last Monday, Argentina won the Football World Cup, and I couldn't help but notice that a lot of people around the world put their hope and their glory into their nation's football team. It was like people were either worshiping the Football World Cup itself or the players of their national team. For example, straight after Argentina won the World Cup, one of the commentators started talking about one of Argentina's star players, Lionel Messi. And these are the words the commentator said. Messi has made history. Messi is now in the realms of eternity with all of the past football gods. I mean, that statement is complete idolatry. I mean, look at this photo that was recently taken in Argentina. It's impressive, right? Now, a lot of the Argentina players and fans are religious. You often see them doing the cross in their celebrations. Yet I can't help but ask the question, are they going to celebrate like that this Christmas over the birth of Jesus? If the angels in the heavenly realm couldn't help but break out into a song of celebration and give God glory, how important is it for us today to do the same? Our worship needs to be directed to God. We need to give God the glory. This Christmas, let's not fall into the trap of worshiping earthly things. Let's make sure that our worship and glory is directed to our Lord and God, our Savior of the world. Now, after the angels have given God glory, they then sing about how God's peace will come on those whom his favor rests. This expression, God's favor resting upon you, was a common Jewish phrase which simply meant that you were numbered among God's chosen people. And to be numbered among God's chosen people meant you had to make a decision and respond to God's grace. As one scholar says, talking about the angel's song, he says, Jesus comes for all, but not all respond to and benefit from his coming. If you want to experience the peace of God, if you want to experience God's salvation, then you need to respond to God. The shepherds highlight this. They had a job to do. They were shepherds. Their job was to protect the sheep from harm and danger. And what did the shepherds do? The shepherds respond by leaving the sheep out in harm's way to go and visit baby Jesus. And you could probably conclude that because the shepherds responded, they got to experience the peace of God. They got to experience salvation. The reality is, if we want to experience all that God has for us, then we need to respond to him and step out in faith. My son Enzo is now 7 years old, and for his last birthday, we were in Auckland. And because we couldn't have a party with all of his Wellington friends, we decided to take the family to Rainbow's End. Now, Enzo is at that slightly awkward age where he's getting too big for the kids' rides at Rainbow's End, but at the same time, he's a bit nervous to go on the adult rides. As a loving father, I know he's going to enjoy the adult rides so much if he can just take that first step and give it a go. But fear keeps holding him back. At Rainbow's End, one of their main attractions is called the Stratosphere. You'll see it up there. The Stratosphere has two different ride settings, and you can choose which one you go on. It has a tame ride, which only swings out on a 45-degree angle, or you can do the extreme ride, pictured there, where it actually goes completely upside down and holds you in the upside-down pose for a few seconds. Now, Bex and I love the extreme ride. And after we'd given that a go and were smiling from ear to ear, Enzo looked at us and he said he'd like to give the tame ride a go. This is the one that doesn't go upside down, it just goes out on a 45-degree angle. And I was so excited. But as I looked at my watch, I realized we're about an hour from when the park closed and the lines were about an hour long. So I knew this would be the last thing we'd be able to do. I mean, Enzo was keen, so we joined the line. An hour later, we walked up to the ride. And as I went to lift Enzo onto the seat, he broke down, cried, and quickly ran from the Stratosphere. Fear had gotten in the way, and I was gutted because I knew if he'd given it a go, he would have had so much fun. As I talked with Enzo later, I realized that Enzo was worried that the ride operator would hit the wrong button and we'd end up doing the upside down one, which I could understand. But I can't wait for the day when I can ride all the rides at Rainbow's End with my son. He's going to have so much fun in the future. But at the moment, fear keeps getting in the way. And it can be the same for us when it comes to following the baby in a manger. Fear can often get in the way. The baby in a manger is God saying to each of us, come, follow me. Yet often out of fear, we start making excuses. I'd love to follow you, God, but what will my friends think? What if they make fun of me? I'd love to follow you, Lord, but I don't like what you teach on certain things. I think I'd rather just follow my ways. I'd love to follow you, Lord, but your ways seem tough and difficult. I really do like my life of comfort, so I think I'll keep doing me. I'd love to follow you, Lord, but. We put in as an excuse as to why we can't really follow Jesus Christ. The amazing thing about the baby in a manger is that Jesus will never force himself upon you. Jesus simply invites you into his peace and salvation and then lets you decide what you want to do. So church, the baby is born. The angels are singing. And I wonder, how are you going to respond to him today? Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for that beautiful moment recorded in the Gospel of Luke where you visit the shepherds and your angels are so excited about what's happened, they burst out in song. And if your angels, your heavenly host couldn't help but worship you in that moment, how much more should we in your image do the same today? So Lord, may we give you the praise and worship. May we remember that your love is for everyone, and may your spirit guide us as to who we're to share your love with, what we're to do to light up the communities around us with your hope and love. And Lord, I pray that we will keep making positive responses to you as you say to each of us every day, come, follow me. May we have the courage like the shepherds to potentially leave everything to come and glance at you, to experience your hope, to experience your peace, and to experience your salvation. So Lord, I pray for each person here. May they come to know you more and more. May they be filled with your peace, and may your hope shine into their lives and from their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.